3, 7, about 4007 again. Numbers are not idle in Jewish writing. It's interesting, to me at least, that there are a few fish, rather than two as in the other miracles of feeding, and about 4,000 as well. So, scholars, please enlighten me. But if we leave off code-breaking, which Jewish numbers involve, and we look at the numbers at face value, what do we find? People are away from home and work for 3 days in the wilderness and far enough to need food for the journey home. What are they giving up to hear our Lord speak? There was a mighty movement around Jesus. Father John Salt of the Oratory of the Good Shepherd was stationed at a remote mission in Zululand, where the church served a huge area, probably about the size of an archdeaconry in this country. And he told me that the people would arrive on Maundy Thursday and then camp in the churchyard for the Triduum. Their homes were simply too far away to go to and fro for all the services. So they camped and went home Easter Day evening or Easter Monday. I think African Christians can put us to shame. Such is their desire to be with the Lord in the liturgy. Another missionary told me of a confirmation. Migrant workers from the Johannesburg mines had become Anglicans and they wanted to be confirmed. But they lived in villages over the border in Mozambique. But they crossed the border in order to see the bishop for confirmation. Through a land mine field and then through a park with lions. Think of our feeble confirmation classes by comparison. But in the wilderness for 3 days. Back to the gospel and another number, 4. These are the actions of our Lord. He takes the bread, he gives thanks, he blesses, he breaks the bread, and he gives. 4 actions. And this same pattern, this ritual, we find in the feeding of the 5,000 at the Last Supper, on the road to Emmaus, and in the writings of St. Paul. And it might seem odd to anyone who is new to Holy Scripture that this formula is repeated. Would you, writing about a meal, use details like that? And different authors use exactly, or almost exactly, the same words. Like the numbers, they are not idle, they matter. Indeed, they are here today in the Eucharist. Taking, blessing, breaking, and giving are the actions of the priest at the altar. And it's not surprising that the first Christians in Rome painted the feeding of the multitudes on the walls of the catacombs, like the catacomb of St. Priscilla, where they gathered in secret for their Eucharist. Looking back, they saw these great gatherings as types and shadows for the real thing, for the newer rite which they celebrated. Now we eat only a small piece of bread in the Eucharist. But it is enough. A tiny fraction of the host gives us as much holy communion with God and Christ as a large one. And here we too are filled as they were in the Eucharist. It would be gluttony to want a larger host in your hands at the altar step than the one you're going to receive this morning if you receive Holy Communion. A tiny piece of bread is enough. It gives satisfaction. It fills. Such is the nature of this Eucharistic feast. And it gives us food for the journey ahead so that we do not faint. It is viaticum, food for the journey. And those of you who love the Lord of the Rings might like to think of the bread which sustains those who make their great journey. And so the journey of this week begins in the strength of this food from the altar. The bodies by Christ's body fed with new life replenished, as the Liturgy of Malabar, which will be sung during the distribution, says. The great Evelyn Underhill urges us to see ourselves as the bread of the Eucharist. She says, in you and through you, the work of the Incarnation must go forward. You are to be taken, consecrated, broken, and made the means of grace, vehicles of the eternal charity. Holy Communion is not good things for the good, but supernatural food for the imperfect, you and me. And the essence of the Christian life, even Underhill says, is a life of Eucharist. St. Paul says, always be Eucharistic, always be thankful. And that's not just attending faithfully, but it is when the Christian's own life is laid upon the altar of Christ, just as the bread will soon be laid. The Christian life is a sacrifice of love, which gives food for other souls, she writes. And when the Christian has been filled at the Lord's table, there are, so to speak, seven baskets of the grace of God for those who were not at the feast. The life of the Christian in the hands of Christ distributes that grace in the world. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So perhaps in the strength of this food, we can go out into the week ahead and be like that wonderful widow of Zarephath and feed others before we eat ourselves, and so fulfill the law of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.